So one of my favorite things to do is kill flies for a dime. And I just gave this fly flying in front of my face a headshot that knocked out, but then it's still flying. And it sort of is a preview of what I think will happen tonight when the Grizzlies face off with the Warriors.
Ooh.
Episode 937 of Lucas Tigers and Bronzo Mai.
WANBC.
That Draymond clapback to Dylan Brooks, I think you put him in retirement.
I mean, listen, this is it's now sports entertainment. We can soon bet on the WWE.
What the F is that? And how do I get the Nancy Pelosi treatment, like the hotline to know what happens before?
The insider info?
I mean, yeah.
It's definitely interesting stuff to think about, right? I mean, it's just the way it's all going. Inside information.
Quick question. Are you in Saturday detention right now?
Yes.
Nice. Parents dropped you off. You were misbehaving at school. And
yes.
Did you ever get this?
No, I've never. I was on detention one time in my life, and it was for one of the most nerdy reasons. There's a little like reverb. Yeah, you're the best. Yeah, look at you. Nerdiest reason in the world. I remember in sixth grade, as nerd students, we got paid for by the school a New York Times subscription. So we would get the paper at school. Like, it would be delivered to our classroom once a week. And I remember bringing my copy to lunch after the class. And Mr. D'Elia, man, that guy, I'll never forget him. He had like one of those like crooked fingers. He'd point at you like this. He'd go like this. Ah. So he's telling everyone, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And, you know, I folded up my paper and everybody was quiet. And it made a little noise, I guess, ruffling the paper. He's like, you, detention. So the only time I ever got detention, I got detention for making noise with my New York Times during sixth grade lunch. Yes. That's the only time I got detention. It was just, you know, stayed after school for like 25 minutes.
Do you think nerding
is
one of those words that, you know, will be like a cancelable offense in like 15 years?
No, I think people they read it. It's like a badge of honor, right? I mean, you know, think of some of the most successful people in the world. I think are nerds. I mean, depending on how you want to classify them, you know. I mean, would you set up with Bill Gates' money? I mean, by any definition
is a fucking scumbag.
I didn't ask you anything about his politics, his life, you name it. The question at hand, and people have to get better at this, right?
I have to get a lot better at this.
Would you settle for Bill Gates' money? And you immediately, you know how I'll answer your own question. Okay, not where the money comes from, the amount of money he has. Would that be an acceptable amount of money for you?
Too much.
Okay, so it's too much. And we proceed. This was an interesting couple of minutes for me. What would you like to talk about? Obviously, there are questions you want to ask that you want to answer, not the questions that I'm posing today. That's fine.
I don't do a good job of answering your questions.
Nobody does.
It's mutual because your questions are really, really
long
and run on.
I answer the question myself. Because if I leave it for you, look what happens.
Right. I have these two voices in my head. I actually hear two questions, one my own and one yours. So first, I'm sitting in the presence of a hobby great. So I hope you have an amazing time at Brigandi tonight. I think you're going to do big things.
Yeah, I think fun stuff. I'm excited.
It's the hobby.
I'm excited for that.
I have my world champion when it comes to the NBA season, my prediction.
Oh, wait. You don't do predictions. I say, hey, give me a prediction. You're like, I don't do predictions. Now you have it.
My prediction, I don't do on-demand predictions because I have to see a bunch of things play out.
All right.
So I did want to talk a little bit about NBA. The NBA games are heating up. There's this kind of, you know, backlash towards Jokic. I think people are completely sleeping on Giannis and the run they're having here. That's what I want to talk about, NBA. But what's interesting to you?
Whenever anybody asks me for a prediction, my prediction is always the same.
What is that?
Pain.
You're having a kind of painful
prediction.
Day.
Pain. No, that's Rocky III. Club of Lang, they asked for his prediction. He says, pain. It's a good prediction. So give me yours. Who's winning the NBA championship this year? And tell us why. Joker. So, because you bought his cards. So now you're on Twitter defending his MVP legacy. You are now invested in Joker. So you're going to say he's going to win the championship. And you're pumping your bags. Tell me, bro.
This is why your questions are difficult because I'm going to answer it this way. The reason I moved to Twitter is because Instagram feels like a pretty toxic environment, if I can be honest.
Okay.
And I started this podcast. I just wanted to talk sports. I love talking ball. And now Twitter gives me an outlet to just talk sports.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted, not argue about, you know, titles of thumbnails, hypothetically.
It's definitely fair. I
have a bit of buyer's remorse with Jokic. And here's why. If you kind of look at his run, his MVP run, this Denver team, they were all a bit under the radar. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting to see when someone faces their first round of adversity. And I think that's what Jokic is feeling and seeing right now. And if you look at his last four games, he's actually playing pretty poorly. And okay. I think it's all of this noise and this outside pressure that is coming, that is kind of seeping into the team. So even the last few wins, they haven't looked good. They got torched by the Bulls in Denver, where they were basically unbeatable for a long time. And even though I do think the Nuggets will make a bit of a run, they're not battle tested.
Okay,
true. We'll talk a little bit about KD and the Suns, because that was the craziest
thing. Ridiculous. I've seen in the time.
But the team that I think is the most battle tested and they're rounding into shape are the Bucks. Now, Cajun, when he was part of our network and we talked a ton about sports, you guys would have probably loved the behind the scenes. Maybe we'll publish the texts one day, because the amount of back and forth in the texts, and I can hear it right now.
It's all the director's cut. The director's cut DVD.
And I was always saying, like, the Bucks don't look good, you know, but he was saying, let them get healthy. And he was right. Now that this team is healthy, Cage, you have Brook Lopez, who's actually probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. You have Drew Holiday, who, because of the way advanced metrics are calculated for defense, they heavily skew to people who get defensive rebounds, and Drew Holiday doesn't do that. Drew Holiday should be in the Defensive Player of the Year category. And what's interesting is he's actually gotten better on offense. There's something like 6-0 when he scores 30 points or more. So you got that. Now you have Chris Middleton sort of playing this really interesting sixth man, which is a very interesting role from him. And now you're surrounded with way more talent. You have Joe Ingles, who's going to be an interesting piece. Bobby Portis, again, sixth man of the year contender. People aren't even talking about them. This team
Crazy is a
better team than the team that won the championship. And if we look back, they actually beat a team that was streaking, which was the Suns. That was the Suns, probably the high point in the Suns' little run here with Chris Paul and all that. They beat a really good Suns team, and they're better this year. So
They're streaking through the quad.
I think the Bucks, obviously injuries, you can't predict anything. Like, who could have predicted Kevin Durant getting hurt like that yesterday? But I still think with everything shaping out, this Bucks team is going to make a run. And I'm curious to hear what you think is going to happen if the Bucks win the championship, how that impacts Giannis's cards, if you have any, you know, pros and takes, and et cetera, et cetera.
We talked about this during, I don't know if it was a PWCC episode or one of the recent ones, where, you know, you actually made the statement that, but, you know, buying Giannis's card, the last card you would buy would be Giannis's silver prism in a PSA 10. Because, you know, I said, listen, you know, Giannis is in that territory. It's hard to not compare across sports, right? But the, you know, the comparable card we talked about was Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the Patrick Mahomes silver is a very different card. It's basically a base card as opposed to, you know, Giannis's silver prism card. Obviously, Giannis has been in the league a couple more years. But, you know, here's Giannis with the individual hardware and one championship. And you could say, all right, it's one. You know, anybody can win one, right? Yeah, Mahomes winning one. Backing it up. And what we said at the time was, if Mahomes wins a second one, it basically sets a floor. You know what I mean? As where he's going to be considered in, you know, the Mount Rushmore's discussions, the GOATs discussion. As a matter of fact, when he won that second one, you know, people came out and were like, if he retired today, he's a Hall of Famer, because he got the individual accolades and he's got the, you know, he's got the championships for it. It's very rare company to be an MVP player, play the, you know, basically top five MVP for a prolonged period of time, and then win multiple championships. There's not that many people who would fit in that category. And the ones that are the people who are, you know, consistently mentioned in the top 25, top 50 NBA players of all time. What you very astutely pointed out, I remember after the episode going and researching it, because I think there is some potential, you know, upside in Giannis as a player, Giannis basically a bet Giannis, betting the Bucks, you name it. But what you pointed out correctly, and I I'll take a pause for a second and say this is something that I think you and probably a lot of our audience has learned over the last couple of years, is that just because Giannis has some significant upside as a player, the Bucks have some upside as a team, and their odds to win a championship might be, you know, higher than you think they are right now, that doesn't mean jump in and buy his cards, because his cards have run up and haven't exactly come down. You know, they've been beaten up, sure, but there's a difference between buying a card and when he wins a championship, the supply for that card being there, and then, say, betting on the Bucks to win the championship. I do believe what happens if Giannis wins is that, you know, the prices that they're at now, it will be difficult for his cards to go lower than that. It sets in a better risk-reward analysis because he's done so much. A lot of what we talk about with cards is that, you know, that potential versus actually doing something, right? That Josh Giddey, he looks great. I mean, a dude's got 17 assists, and he looks like he could be a, you know, a great player. And the price you're paying for it is because he's going to do it for X number of years, maybe, you know, be talked about as an MVP, maybe win a championship, maybe. Well, as each year progresses, if Giannis wins an MVP, Giannis wins a championship, the maybes become actually done. And it sets kind of a floor for, you know, for what he's done. I would be a buyer in certain Giannis cards. I would. But not many. Because as you said correctly, Giannis's stuff, you know, it's expensive. It's not cheap by comparison to some of the other players in the league. Two championships is a big deal. And I would have a hard time arguing against it. Because let's just look at the teams, right? Look at the teams in the top of both areas. I've said this about the West the entire time. Don't tell me about the Suns or the Jazz. I don't even know if the Jazz are doing, but in previous years, Jazz were 60-win teams, and it didn't make a difference. You knew they weren't going to win. The Suns, the Nuggets. I'm not going to bank on any of them beating anyone until I see them actually do it. Western Conference Finals? Sure. They could all get to the Western Conference Finals. Finals? Sure. But Giannis and that team battle-tested, plays as a better team. They have, you know, cohesiveness. You know, they've played together, and that actually matters against a team like the Suns that's, you know, adding in a KD, and who knows what you're going to get if he's going to be playing and blah, blah, blah. But talk about it. I mean, even if you throw those names in there, the Nuggets, the Suns, not that many teams in the West that I would say are like, you know, championship pedigree. Sure, the Lakers. They're at a 9 seed now, and that's after playing incredible for the last week. The Warriors, great championship pedigree, and I'm sure they'll find a way to put it together when it matters. But I think they're third worst in the league behind the Rockets and the Spurs in road wins. I think they have like 7 wins on the road. I mean, that's tough to expect them to actually do anything. And then in the East, what do you got on the top? It's just basically them and the Celtics. You want to throw the 76ers in there in the equation? Fine. Everybody else is a pretender. Go ahead.
So two things there. So while you were talking, I pulled up a few things for Card Ladder to look at indices and cards. We could talk that, and then we could talk about the teams. I actually think what's interesting is the parity this year has taken away from the top and added kind of to the bottom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a few seasons ago, it was a little bit more top-heavy.
Yeah.
Where this
nobody's year, really out of it, especially with the play-in games, right? Like you get 13 teams in each conference that are basically vying for the playoffs right now. That's 26 out of 30 whatever teams there are. That means no one's out of it, but very little on the top.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, Kings aren't going to pose a threat to
two seed, right?
I mean, or the 2 seed. They're not going to. I mean, the Grizz are not going to pose a threat to the Bucks. I mean, the Suns with a healthy KD, we could talk about that. The Warriors are in big trouble, Cage. I think the fracture we've talked about that yesterday is a little bit bigger than it seems. And they run a really complex offense. And if you haven't gotten it together by March 9th, what are the odds you're going to get it together by, you know, playoffs? And in the East, it's the same thing. The Heat took a step back. The Heat are just – they're not a threat, not because they don't play right or they don't play hard. They don't have a roster. They have 10 undrafted players. In the NBA, it's crazy to think about the talent. They have 10 undrafted players. You know, Max Strus isn't going to be the guy you rely on. And then you go
– a team, though, does have like – I mean, adding Kevin Love does solidify that locker room.
Kevin Love is terrible. Kevin Love is really bad.
Did you watch the game, bro?
Can I tell you something that's interesting with NBA League Pass? Mm-hmm. You don't get the local game.
Oh, so that's a local game for you.
I actually
can't. But it's on your local channel. Can't you watch it on the regular channel?
Well, you don't have cable. I don't have cable.
Oh, you – okay. But he was dominant at points in that game. But, I mean, for some reason, they had Donovan Mitchell guarding him. So he was low post. I mean, he scored like 6-8 points in a row in the third quarter because they had Mitchell on him, and he was basically camping out below the basket, getting the shot, and then doing a little bit of like a baby hook, like a foot away from the basket. It's not that you're asking him to be a 2010 guy. The point of bringing up Kevin Love is maybe that does allow them, when it matters, to have that championship pedigree that's there and combine a Hero and a Butler and, you know, all the talent they have on there, and he can kind of help them gel. That doesn't
– Do you know how they got Kevin Love? Did you – so this – I can't believe they didn't talk about this more. Pat Riley slept through most of the good deals, and he didn't want to be dormant. No, you didn't
know that? Is that true? No.
100%. I'm not making that up.
I mean, he didn't sleep through anything.
You really – see, this is – this is what makes
So I'm not saying that that your facts are wrong. I'm saying the way that you're saying it is wrong. You're making it sound like Pat Riley's 90 years old and there was some meeting where they had an auction for all the free agents and he was in the back row asleep because he's old. Clearly, that didn't happen.
Kyle Lowry's got a little junk in the trunk, right? And he's basically cooked. And there was this deal that was on the table between Kyle Lowry hasn't played in a while. There's a deal on the table. Listen, Cage. Where it was sending Kyle Lowry to the Clippers. And to give final approval, you needed Pat Riley to sign off, and he couldn't be reached.
Pat Riley was unable to be reached. This is a confirmed fact. Who is this, like Shams? Were you in the room where it happened? How pray tell, is it because you're down in Miami hanging out with Giselle because you caused the whole marriage breakup? How is it that you know? Were you involved in the three-way call? I mean, seriously, how is it that you know that someone attempted to call Pat Riley and they couldn't get him on the phone, and that's the only reason why the trade didn't happen? Please.
Okay. Seriously, so instead of getting into tabloids and
stuff. It's me saying sources. People say that to me. When I posted, hey, Kevin Durant might be out for a little while, they DM me. Sources. I sent them sources.
Go back to your college days, right? So you're for fraternity, sorority party, athlete party, just regular party, whatever. You go out and you're like, okay, you know, this girl in my business class, I hope I see her out. You know, that's option A. I've really liked her.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I mean, there's this girl in my biology class. Okay, I wouldn't love that, but she'll be plan B. She'll be the second option. So what happened was Pat Riley didn't get any of his first options, and his plan B was Kevin Love, a washed-up defender.
Seriously, what you're saying
is we're getting
what? Getting there. Sidetrack. You're going to tell me how you know? No, this isn't sidetrack. This is today's
media. This is on track.
Okay, no,
this is the track. Point. This is the cage track.
Did you know that Elon Musk actually, I mean, he actually wanted to go to Saturn with SpaceX, but because he slept through one of the science meetings, they can only go to Mars. Did you know that? I mean, you know this, right? I mean, come on. You're telling me you don't know this? That's what you're doing. Unless you now can give me, okay, here's Elon Musk admitting this, or here's someone who was in that room, or here's someone who was in the science meeting, and he came out, and here he is, and he's given an interview about the time that they were going to take the SpaceX rockets to Saturn. But Elon Musk, you know, he was in the back of the room. They tried to call him on the phone. This guy said he was the one who called him. Here it is. He has the missed call. Musk didn't pick up. So now, sorry, we just got to settle for Mars. This is what you're doing.
So speaking of Shams, you know Kay Adams is going to be at Mint?
No.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you know Jason Williams is going to be there playing Papa Shot?
That's your plan A. I got my plan A.
Yeah, I would rather play basketball with Jason Williams or white chocolate.
I'd rather play baseball with Kay Adams. So Celtics and Sixers.
You're the one talking about needed plan B in college. I don't know what you were doing. Ba-da-bum-bum.
Oh,
okay,
man.
So I got one for you.
Okay.
Beckett special. $100, 2 to 5 day. I mean, that's pretty nice.
Wrap this.
I like topic. That. You want to wrap the Bucks topic? Go ahead, please. Wrap the Bucks topic. No. Wrap it. No, please. Please wrap it. Wrap. Do a little wrap for me. Wrap your wrap. Wrap it with a wrap. It's big.
I like a Bucks futures. Bucks
coming out. The door.
Futures. And Bucks to win a second championship. And the player I pulled up was Hakeem Olajuwon. I wanted to see what Hakeem's cards in the Fleer 86 do. I know it's different because you have an active player with still upside potential with a retired player. So it's slightly different. But I just wanted to see. So I could pull up that chart.
Yep. And credit Cajun. That was exactly what Cajun said. He said, here's why. Here's why you don't buy Giannis. Here's why you don't buy him. Here's his ceiling. And sent the picture of Hakeem Olajuwon. Exactly right. 100% right.
Cajun said that?
Yep. Yeah, the text that you want to disclose in the director's cut, go back, you'll see it. Missed that guy. Cajun, we love you.
Why is he so bald? By the way, if everyone who's asked us about Cajun, you know, he posts every single day. It's just Cajun Cardboard on YouTube.
He's the best.
Yeah. Question. So why does he buy Giannis then? Just as a collector?
Yeah.
Cajun?
Well, I mean, I would think, you know, first of all, he's a big 2012 Prism fan. I think the green set he thinks is undervalued because it's one of the, you know, it's one of the few.
Giannis is 2013 though.
So, but you bleed into 2013 also the whole deal. I think he's a Prism guy. But then Giannis, I mean, I think if you would ask him here and he's not here, maybe we'll have him on. Cage, you want to come back on as a guest? I think he would tell you he probably isn't buying Giannis right now. He's buying MJ and MJ only. That's it. So
Giannis listen, is plus 600 to win MVP. Plus 600. First in the East.
Yeah.
Is it that he missed too many games? Like,
He missed some games. But there's still, I forget who said it yesterday, if it was Bill Simmons maybe or Colin Howard or one of the guys said, hey, why are we all going nuts about what's going to happen to the MVP? There's still 25% of the season to come. Like, anything can happen. You know, records can shift. People can go into a little bit of a slump. Embiid can go out there and score, you know, 35, 18, and 5, you know, whatever it is, you know, and you know, can rest this thing away. Let's not crown anyone the MVP yet. We're only three quarters of the way through the season, which is valid. Giannis has an MVP. I haven't really heard much of Giannis talk MVP. Just and what's funny about it is because it's a reverse Jokic. Jokic is getting a little slander now, but it's not like, oh, he doesn't deserve it this year. It's, you know, he didn't deserve it last year. You know, like you can't give it to him 3 years in a row because he got a gimme last year that he shouldn't have earned. Giannis, he's not putting up a Giannis type year where, you know, Giannis, I mean, it's a great year, but it's off, you know, hit what he can do and what you've come to expect from him, especially with the numbers as gaudy across the league as they are.
Do you think do you think that's confusing? I'm glad you made that point. Like, so he's 32.4 PER, if you care about that, 31.2 points a game, 5.5 assists, and 12 rebounds a game on 54% shooting, Cage.
Right. I mean, if you went back 5 years, those would probably all be leading. I mean, the 31 and change would be leading the league. His rebounds would probably be close to leading. I mean, it depends if Andre Drummond is playing or not.
that's your dude.
I mean, if you go back to that decade there, I mean, he led the league in rebounds, like, I think, like 6 of 10 years. You know, some
did you see the clip I posted a few days ago where he takes it ISO and he throws the layup?
Yeah.
The best.
His time with Cleveland was not exactly the greatest time for him. But in any event, here's the fun thing. But if you look at it, where's Giannis ranking points per game overall in the league? He's not first. With those numbers, you would be. I know Luka's ahead of him. There are players who are ahead of him. I mean, you know, people just score. I think Booker's 5 or 6 games in a row of 35 or more. You know, it's just there's a lot of scoring. There's a lot of points now. You know, I mean, the other day there was the Pacers game was 114 at the end of the third quarter. You know, that's ridiculous. I saw a score the other day. It was like, you know, 80 somethings at half. And I told Ian, I'm like, this used to be the final score when like the Knicks play the Bulls or the Knicks play the Pacers. That was a whole game. And you're getting it in a half now. So
it is crazy. All right, do your live read real quick for Beckett again. I apologize.
Well, I mean, I just saw it today. I posted it in my story. It's a special that I, you know, we've known is coming for a couple of days, and it's finally announced. It's a really good Beckett special for, you know, for folks. It's not for every card. This is not if you're a value bulk subber. You know, it's something that's got some meat on the bone, right? And something you want to get back quickly. Let's say you want to take this to Mint with you, you'll have it back by Mint. It's a 2 to 5 business day turnaround. So it's a quick turnaround if you get this in. It's normally the $140 service. They're dropping it down to $100. So $100, 2 to 5 day turnaround on your card. And as an added bonus, when you get this, not only $40 off, two little freebies. One of the things that Andrew suggested in one of our first meetings, let's knock the shipping out. Free ground shipping on this, they're throwing in. So $140 knocked down to $100 for 2 to 5 day turnaround, free ground shipping, and you get a Beckett Zion case when they return the card. It's like, you know, a cool case for the card, hold it, bring it to Mint, show it off, the whole deal. You know, it's we don't know, and I'm sure Beckett doesn't, you know fully what everybody out there wants. We'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear your feedback on you know, a pricing, you know, adjustment like this. To me, I think this makes sense. If you have a, you know, if you have a four-figure card, right, raw, you just open some Immaculate, you just open some, you know, some product, and you're sitting there going, all right, I got to get this card in this lab. You have it back quick at a reasonable price, free shipping, and, you know, that cool Zion case with the Beckett branding on it. So just take a look. It's on my story. It's on Beckett Collects page. And, you know, these are the kind of things that I think if you look back at the last, you know, decade or two, and you look at what cards are in Beckett slabs, you're talking about the, you know, your RPAs. You're talking about your cards where, you know, you see that 9510 or 1010. This is the kind of special that I think works for the kind of card you would want to put in a Beckett slab. So, make sense?
Mikal Bridges is on a tear. If you look at his Silver Pop, his basically his cards weren't graded at the same rate as other people's cards. Mm-hmm. Now he's going on a run, and you're going to see, let's say you're not a breaker, but you're going to see a lot of raw cards of his on eBay, on PWCC, NBA. Those are amazing cards too. Quick sub to BGS and have him back in hand.
Yeah. Mikal Bridges having a great time. You know who's like DNPing and, you know, scoring nothing in the whole nine yards? It's not like Thomas. I told you this. Cam Thomas. Most.
Yeah, but you couldn't have known that. Zero.
What do you mean I couldn't have known it? It's exactly what we said on this show, that he can't put up the numbers that he's putting up. The only reason he's putting them up is because the team had no players. He was putting up those things when they traded.
Didn't know that they would get four wings in a trade. Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith.
That was the trade. We saw the trade happen, and we said it wasn't even the wings. It was that they had no bodies. Two of the games he played were because there were like seven guys on the roster. So there wasn't even any. It didn't even matter if it was a center or a wing or if it was a ball boy who doesn't know how to clean up the floor for Kevin Durant. This way he doesn't slip on it. The point
is. But what if the Mavs didn't?
You would have scored 20. Somebody has to put the ball in the basket. You would have.
No. What if instead of Mikal Bridges, the Suns would have traded DeAndre Ayton, and now Cam Thomas would have filled the role?
But they didn't. When we said it, we knew who was coming back. But more importantly,
I didn't know that.
But even that's the case. Cam Thomas, if they got DeAndre Ayton instead of Mikal Bridges, okay, then Ayton would have been scoring, right? And Thomas would have been playing, but he would have been playing as the sole basket shooter. He wouldn't have been the only option on the team. Literally, go back and look at those things. They had no one else to play, because it wasn't just that they had traded away Kyrie. It was that in that trade, the players hadn't made their way to the Nets yet, so their roster was, you know, it was like an unmanned team. You know what I'm saying? So most teams.
So don't buy the hype. Don't buy the hype with Cam Thomas.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, it's over. It's over already. Listen, you want to fight me on every turn? That's perfectly fine. I think that the point here, which didn't have to turn into an eight-minute thing, was exactly what you finally got to, which is Cam Thomas with a lot of hype. There were a lot of reasons for it. And more often than not, you're going to be able to, in the NBA, find a legitimate wing player who is probably better than Cam Thomas. No besmirch.
Mikal Bridges. Thomas. Go on record right now. Yep. He's probably up 150% since the trade. He's putting up gaudy, amazing numbers.
Buy him in the offseason if you really believe in him. He's putting up great numbers. They're not going to have any real success in the playoffs. His great numbers will be forgotten about in a month.
You're so smart.
I'm on record.
This is why he's going to Brigandi. He's got his opener. If you're I know you guys here are by Ruth and, you know, Ty Cobb and Jackie Robinson, but for the one person in the audience that's looking for Mikal Bridges, now's not the time.
Listen, it's smart to have someone like me go to a Brigandi event because of exactly what you just said, right?
Smart to have someone.
I said, oh, I know you guys are buying Ty Cobb. I know you guys are doing all this stuff. I know they have like giveaways and stuff. You know what I brought? Maybe people open it at my table. Or maybe we'll do a giveaway, we'll do a raffle, or maybe I'll just keep going open it. Because everyone's going to be there with T206s and old crusty stuff. And this isn't exactly new. I didn't bring like an ultra modern.
No, don't show us the old crusty stuff on your T206. No one wants to see that.
I brought a Donkey Kong box. This is Mario, Super Mario Bros. Rookie card is in here. His first appearance of Mario. So I got a sealed Donkey Kong box from the 80s. Mix that in with your T206s.
BBC authenticated. $3 million.
Cage authenticated. cage. But I have some type ones. I brought some stuff. But I figured, you know, let's mix in some fun. Let's have these, you know, the stuffy vintage guys on a hunt for a Mario rookie. Super Mario.
So let me get this straight though. So you're walking in the office, you're looking dapper, suit, looking good. And I hope you're not wearing your PSA backpack. I hope you have a briefcase for those type ones. If it's a PSA
briefcase. No, Kenneth
Cole. Oh, Fendi. He's got a little Fendi briefcase.
Believe it or not, I have a Gucci briefcase that somebody gave me, and I gave it to Ian. Ian uses it. Yep, Ian uses it for his cards.
For when he's walking into the NBA in 15 years, he's going to read
it. It's not my style. It's got yellow gold on it. I don't know. I'm not a yellow gold type of guy. You know, that's not my thing. I don't wear any yellow gold. I got one piece of jewelry. That's it. It's the one piece of jewelry.
So we got a little
Donkey Kong box. You know you're jealous. You want to open that. Donkey Kong's that video game is the first appearance of Mario before Super Mario Bros. He's in the Donkey Kong video game, so it's going to be fun. Something different.
I mean, it's iconic.
Know?
I didn't understand how much I loved Marvel until I saw your Marvel break.
Well, you were also on acid. Remember.
Not acid.
Shrooms. Cocaine.
Different than acid, Cage.
I'm just wondering, were you combining them all?
No.
I mean, the coca leaf is also natural. No?
Well, the way does a coca leaf make cocaine and chocolate?
And
or is that the cacao leaf? And Coke. Okay. So anyway,
very different.
Daddy
very different
Rips
things.
And DPZ are doing an impromptu episode of Daddy Rips Breaker. They're going to be talking a little bit about the TikTok banning. Or it's still uncertain what exactly is going to happen, but the ban on live breaks. They'll talk a little bit about that. We'll probably air it today or tomorrow.
What's happening is that they're going to start regulating it, that there's no ban per se, that instead it's they're trying to pull back on it so that they can roll it out, regulating, you know, update the app, maybe put in like the ability to pay, the ability to put everything on there, and you know, maybe you know, put some oversight over it. There's something I want to do for I'm going to pull them out. Maybe our team will start doing it, but I want to start reading some of the comments we get on the episodes or some of the DMs we get. We should start doing that. Cause it made me think of it. I got a DM yesterday from somebody, and it's really, really funny. It says, hello, 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 hello. And, you know, it's one of these, like, you know, out of nowhere kind of things because it's Cage Lawyer. It says, the person says their name. I'm looking for a lawyer. Hello? Are you a lawyer? I'm looking for a lawyer. So I wrote, sorry, that's just my name. Cagella Wire. I split it up. My last name is Wire instead of Cage. Lots of people that make mistakes, though. Sorry, don't worry about it. All right, can we be friends? Anyone there? I need someone who can borrow me $50. I will pay the person on Saturday $500. I need an urgent. Help me, lawyer. What is going on? This is Instagram. Why do we get these? Who are these people? Please help me, lawyer. Give me $50. I'll pay you $500.
You don't want to tell people their handle?
No.
Is this a private handle? Or is this like an actual account?
No, it's a person's name. It's a person's name. It's like a...
People have no shame.
And then, you know, they send like a whole bunch of like frowny emojis because I'm not responding. Then I would actually want to read more of the stuff about, like, you know, about the episodes and stuff. But that one, that came in this morning, and I'm like, wow, we really – this is why you're leaving Instagram and why you're going to Twitter.
There's people also that, like, leave comments that say, you know, I love you guys even though Andrew and I don't talk a lot. And then you comment back like, hey, Andrew, you mind commenting for this
guy? I was hoping I'd be able to, like,
jump. You know, these people are lunatics.
I read a comment to my wife. Yesterday, and she's like, "You have to read that. You have to read that on the show." I'm like, "Now I can't find it, so I'll find them and we'll read them." But yeah, do I know they're lunatics? They would say that we're lunatics, you know, and they might be right.
You might have just summed up the social media dilemma right there. It's I say you're a lunatic, you say I'm a lunatic. The outside people, the third people, are like, both of these guys are lunatics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people talking to lunatics, the people answering a lunatic. There's just a lot of lunatics out there, I think. That is social
media. A wise man once said, what is it, the comment you gave me? You told
me. Don't argue with fools because from a distance you can't tell who is who. That's Jay-Z, great philosopher.
What's the first thing you're going to say to Probstein tonight when you see him?
Nice yarmulke. No?
Insult his religion with
sarcasm. How's that insulting? I'm complimenting his yarmulke.
This matzah is delicious.
He's not going to be eating matzah, but he will be wearing a yarmulke. But I'm going to tell him, thank you for great service on both my cards and yours and Cajun's. You know, we can talk about a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, I'm going to tell him you better follow me.
This is a fun little – so, guys, you guys know in December I picked up a Pele Gazzetta. Gorgeous copy. Really nice copy.
Here we go.
This is a lesson, maybe, I don't know if it's a lesson, it's experience. So I talked to Cage, this dude knows his stuff, and he's like, hey, by the way, just so you know, I'm in this, was it a Facebook group you're in? Where you saw that somebody has basically...
So somebody messages to me. One of our listeners.
Right, so like, let's backpedal a little. What we're always trying to solve for is supply and demand. Demand a little bit more ambiguous, but supply is a little bit more clear cut. With these older cards, we assume that most of them by this point have been graded, right? But every once in a while, there's discovery, or we don't know how much. I remember hearing this, and it's just hearsay. I don't know if it's true or false, that the same thing happened with the Nike promo Jordan card, right? It's rare in a PSA 10, but how do we know how many of them are out there, right? What if somebody has 5, 10, you know, 500, 10, 1,000 of these? And they're slowly getting them graded and slowly liquidating. So what I learned about the Gazzetta is that somebody owns a lot of them in the uncut fashion. Yep. And that the population, I anticipate, will go up. So even though I have a nice 5, I don't know if I'm going to have the nice 5 in 2 years. There might be 15 fives, 3 sixes, a 7, and an 8. And even though I love the copy, I felt it would be irresponsible to hold through that uncertainty. So I sold it, basically got my money back, maybe lost a few hundred bucks. But yeah, sold the Gazette to Taylor.
Basically, this is part of price discovery and also just discovery overall. I mean, the information that we got was that, you know, there's a ton of stuff in Brazil. When you talk about, you know, Pele cards, Pele stuff, there are, you know, we went through this with, you know, that Gazette card for me when I had a 4, and that was pop 1. The highest graded, and then it wasn't, and Andrew got a 5. And you know, some of our listeners would say, oh, I'm in Facebook groups, I'm in, you know, this is a group I'm in. Here's one guy, and he posted, you know, basically like 50 of the Gazzetta uncut sheets where it has the, you know, it has the Pele on it, can get cut out. So, you know, while Andrew's 5 is really nice now, who knows when a 6, 7, 8 or whatever is going to pop up and all of a sudden drive down the prices on these things. So you know, it's just one of those things you have to be aware of when, you know, you're dealing in items that just don't have a track record. You know, you never know how many of them are out there. But smart. I think you did the right thing on it. Meanwhile, I sold some Pokemon cards on Golden last night and got, you know, I got taken to the woodshed. So
how does that feel? Terrible. What goes through your mind when that kind of
happens? I mean, like, am I at fault? You know, I'm at fault for a bunch of reasons. So number one, the first thing that goes through my head, and I'll be quick on this because I know we got to wrap it up, is you make your money on your entry, and you can also really get hurt on your entry. And I'll tell you, the cards I sold specifically were ones that I knew I was going to take a loss on. I just didn't know the extent of the loss. But these were the last few holograms that I purchased trying to, you know, chase the set and get one card shy and not have the Charizard.
Right.
And they were the ones at the, you know, the peak. And he was like, oh, Hitmonchan. All right, well, this one just sold for 17. This one's 23,000. I better buy in, you know, if I can get one. If it just sold for PWCC for 23,000, if I can find one in the private and buy it for 18, I'm getting a bargain. Or the next one sells for 20, I'm getting a bargain. Well, you know, I wound up selling it last night and clearing like 7, you know. And several of the ones that, you know, that I purchased at the end, it's my own fault because I chase these things, and we're allowed to talk about this. You know, we're allowed to talk about how not every move is the right move. Not every buy is the right buy. And look, even when you plan it out, should I be selling these now? I don't need the money per se, but you guys know my tale of woe. I've been selling cards this year, and some of them I expected that I was going to be making gains on, and I was expecting to have these as losses to offset gains. Instead, I'm just winding up with losses.
the I don't need the money, right, is you don't need the money, but you want the money to redeploy in other stuff that makes you happy and brings you fulfillment.
Well,
these You'd rather have the money to put into something else.
Maybe these particular cards, I mean, honestly, I think whoever got them at good prices. And, you know, and I wouldn't mind. So with these, it's why I say I don't need the money on it is because in a perfect world, and you can never time this, but in a perfect world, I would have sold these to change my basis in them and be able to buy them back. They're cards I want. Like, I still want that Pokemon first edition. I like those cards. You know, I really do.
You want a Hitmonchan?
Yeah.
First edition? Why? Because what's the collectability that will be there with that card?
So it's that's an episode for an entirely different day. Okay. We should talk about the difference between, you know, the value in set building and how that is a collector thing and not a flipping thing. And that set building is one of those things where I would say it's only something that collectors do.
Okay. And that's
and it's just
that's
I mean, look
a great it. Place to end. And maybe if we will remember, we're very tangential people, so we might not remember at all. Maybe we'll pick up tomorrow with that same topic.
Works for me.
With nearly 40 years as the most trusted resource for collectors, dating back to the first Beckett magazine in 1984, Beckett has been the brand that bridges generations of the hobby. We're happy to be partnering with Beckett and look forward to keeping you all updated on the big things happening at the company in 2023. Beckett, it's the name you know and the name you can trust.